Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
We're going to rejoice and pray and hope that we can stand in that state of readiness. And I certainly am going to touch on some things that we have touched on before. I want to read a scripture and then probably get into some of the prophecies that are being fulfilled and have been fulfilled that tell us on no uncertain terms that the coming of the Lord is very, very near at hand. Unto they that look, the scripture has told us, he shall appear the second time without sin unto glory. Everybody tonight say with me, to them that look. Every Christian should be looking for the coming of Jesus Christ, without exception. When I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior, that was the message of the hour. It was an anointed message, an appointed message. And the Bible said that this is a blessed hope, and whoever has this hope, that means keeps it in the proper perspective, purifieth himself. Isn't that incredible? If you live in the light of the second coming of the Lord, really the rapture, I need to define. We'll have a study sometime between the comings of the Lord and define the difference between his coming to stand upon Mount Olivet and when all the world will mourn because of him, amen, and his coming for his church, which is a secret, swift snatching away, amen, where we meet him in the air. You can't meet him in two places at once, amen. Can't meet him in the air and when he stands on Mount Olivet. Amen. You're going to meet him in one or the other situation. And if the church is not, that's why a lot of the gospels don't deal completely with all of the ramifications of the rapture, because there was a lot of Jewish people, a lot of things were for the nation, national Israel, not just spiritual Israel. And after the tribulation of these days, certain things are going to happen to national Israel. Can you say amen? And some people read into that then Christ can't come till then. And you just get all of these different perspectives. But I know one thing for sure as a redeemed child of God. I have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. That is clear in 1 Thessalonians. You can speculate all you want and even biblically try to figure out how it's all going to happen in the exact time frame of it all. But one thing is for sure, amen, he doesn't judge the righteous with the wicked. Amen. That's clear. And one thing is equally sure from the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation forward, God's wrath begins to be poured out upon this earth, and the men begin to cry out, great and small, to hide us, to the rocks and mountains, fall upon us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So all of the judgments, bowl judgments and trumpet judgments and vial judgments, all the things that are poured out is part of that wrath that is coming upon the earth. And we have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Say that with me. We have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Amen. Isn't it good that that's in the scripture so we can get an understanding of how God is going to deal with the righteous and the wicked on that day? I'm grateful that I don't have to worry about drinking blood for water, and I do not have to worry about a meteor hitting the sea and killing a third part of the life within it. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to concern myself with God's judgments upon the earth, because my sin has been judged in my Savior, Jesus Christ. Just thought I'd run that by you. So if you hear teaching, you got to understand you're going to violate grace somewhere if you teach the judgment of the righteous. Amen. And violate it very badly. People will come to know the Lord during that terrible time, and they will forfeit their life in order to stand true to him. It'd be far better to come to know Jesus now, when great grace is upon us, and you're not called upon to literally die necessarily, but just lay down your spiritual life for him. I want you to be ready. Go ahead, finish it. Hallelujah. Bakosandaraba. I want you to be ready for my coming is nigh at hand. I want my people to be looking forward and upward and not backward and downward. I want your eyes set upon the things above and your heart set there as well, saith the Lord. For where your treasure is, there your heart will follow, says the Spirit of God. There's a message today that is completely earth-centered. It's not even Christ-centered. It's you-centered. And it isn't that God doesn't love you and want to meet the needs of your life and really go beyond meeting the needs. The Lord goes beyond that and He gives us the desires of our heart. But the desire of our heart should be primarily to love Him and to serve Him, because there's no greater joy in life than loving Christ and serving Him. If you only serve God for what He can do for you, you're like some spoiled rich child that the only reason they have any consideration of a parent is not because of their love and their self-sacrifice, but only what they do for them. And there are people that have got their values so messed up that they don't love anyone for who they are, but only for what they can get from them. And if you didn't have anything to give, you would have no worth, because that's how some people's values work. And that was the whole issue between Job and Satan when Satan and God concerning Job, when Satan appeared before God illegally. And God said, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. And Satan said, I've come to talk to you about your creation. And he brought up a very valid point, a good point. He said, listen, will a man serve God for naught? In other words, if there isn't some instant personal gratification in it, can you find anybody that will serve you for you and not just for what you do for them? When a message is preached only in God being there for you in terms of immediate gratification and not your eternal salvation and eternal good, it seems to me that some people would rather celebrate God giving them a new job or a raise than they would the cross and eternity in heaven to come. And when that happens, it doesn't mean we don't celebrate the raise. Believe me, if someone gave me a check for $100,000, I would be in here very happily telling you about it. And everybody that says I'm not too spiritual to do that said amen. But I want you to know something tonight. My primary joy and my greater joy is knowing that my sins are forgiven and I'm not appointed to wrath, and that heaven is going to be my home forever. You can't buy that with $100,000 or $10 billion. I'd rather be me here tonight on a strict budget, sometimes wondering how the Lord is going to what kind of miracle He's going to work to help me make ends meet, than to be Bill Gates, that never has to worry about anything, with about $38 billion at his disposal and have no regard for Jesus Christ, according to his own lips. He said, I simply, in terms of allocation of time, I don't have time for religion. Isn't that incredible? I'm too busy doing what? Amassing wealth and taking care of my dynasty to worry about eternity. There was a man like that in Scripture, and the Bible called him a fool. He said, my barns are full, so full, I don't know what to do with all my material wealth. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down these barns and build even bigger barns so it'll hold more of my wealth. And Christ said, what a foolish man. Tonight, your soul is going to be required of thee. And then who shall these things be? If you died tomorrow, what would it matter if you don't know Jesus? What you amassed in this world, how many people thought you were top shelf, whether you were a superstar or not. Can you say amen? It just wouldn't matter. If you die without Jesus and you've traded Him for this world, you're a foolish person. And the devil has played you for that fool. And I believe we need more preaching that's heaven-centered and heart-centered and Christ-centered, and something that will fulfill you so much on the inside that nothing that you gain on the outside can add to it, and nothing you can lose on the outside can take from it. Amen. That is when you're truly rich. Woo, you didn't hear me. There needs to be something in the Lord so powerful and wonderful that nothing you could be given could add to what you have in Christ. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy the good things of the world in terms of the sinless stuff. But listen to me. Nothing, there should be nothing hanging out there like the carrot in front of the cart that you're running after, saying, if I had that, I would be happy. If you have Jesus, how many would agree He's supposed to be bread for the hungry soul and water for the thirsty soul. And his body is meat indeed, and his blood is drink indeed. And he that partakes of Christ spiritually, body and blood, he shall never hunger and he shall never thirst. Glory to God. Part of being ready for the second coming of the Lord is being heavenly minded.